Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Noon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening, you are listening to the Power Performance. If it's Wednesday, it is the Power Performance, joining you live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a rather long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon up to Mansfield, Ohio, O-H-I-O. Her name is Deb Schaefer, just Deb Schaefer. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Hey, Jason, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Can't complain. We are looking forward to an exciting show, and it has been way too long since we said. And also joining us remotely, he is the COO, Tough Talking Troy Hall from Charleston, South Carolina, although he's in Vegas today. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Well, I am, well, thank you for that warm welcome. I am feeling energized. I am pumped. I am ready to go because there is going to be a lot happening today.
Yes, there is. You're out in beautiful Las Vegas at the Aria Hotel. You're going to have about 200 people in the audience today talking about every day is bank transfer day. You've been in England. You've been in San Diego. Man, you really get around.
Well, thank you. I had a little vacation with my beautiful wife. We celebrated 35 years of marriage and then came right back immediately and left her at home and went to work.
Well, speaking of work, Deb, you were at work yesterday and one of your coworkers was asking about why are we doing a best of the decade in September of 2012. What'd you tell her?
Yeah, I told her, well, because we can, first
exactly.
of all. And
yep.
I said, that's how we roll. Jason, Troy, and myself are like a bunch of crazy street musicians. You never know where we'll pop up, what we'll be performing, but we guarantee that we'll always be entertaining.
Yes, yes. Well,
and it will be a powerful performance.
Yeah.
It usually is. It usually is. That's absolutely right, folks. The beauty of the radio program is it is not scripted. We had a great time last week. We were supposed to do this show last week, but history intervened. And as I am often saying in my spoken session, history is. Change with it or get changed by it. History doesn't care, and neither do I. So that's what we're doing today. Now, today we're talking about the best of the decade, and I'll tell you, if I could have answered your coworker, I would have said the same thing, because we can. But since that might have sounded a touch glib, I would have gone on to explain. I might have gone on to explain that I believe that when you evaluate great performances, that you get a better perspective the further you back away from those performances. And with the television season kind of kicking off this month, and just, I don't know, it felt like the right time to do this show. And of course, when you talk about a great performance and how a great performance is enduring, that you could do that show whenever you want.
Right. Well, you know, and the other thing too that came to mind when you guys were talking about that, and from a strategic standpoint, here is why you want to take a look at a long time span, because you need to gain perspective, because as you are moving strategic planning, you are always moving it forward, but you do have to create a base point or a data point from the past that will help you figure out where you are so that you then can appreciate where you get to and where you're going. So excellent idea and to do it. And we should do it quite often. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't be waiting for the end of a time period in order to evaluate it. You should be evaluating it as you go.
Well, as you know, and Deb knows this, from the musical parlance that we often speak in here, you should review every performance, whether you're at a bank or a credit union or a pizza place. You have a chance to evaluate your live performance each and every day, and you probably should, right, Deb?
Right, absolutely.
Well, listen, let me get a big shout-out to people joining us from the beautiful city of Abilene, Texas, out at First Financial Bank Shares. So we've got a real Texas groove going on today, Texas Republic thereof. And, of course, since we talk about live performances on this show of every kind, dramatic, musical, and, yes, even political, our superstar Deb Schaefer has a story to talk to us about, and we do it through the prism of Straight On with Deb. That's right. Straight On with a super cool Christian mother of four. Hey, Deb, what you got for us this week?
Well, this week I have the opportunity to talk about something that I certainly didn't expect to be talking about last week. Over the weekend, I received an email from Team Ohio and for the GOP and inviting me to Mitt Romney's victory rally. And so I attended that on Monday with about 1,000 other attendees at a small manufacturing facility here in Mansfield. And I've got to tell you, regardless of which political party you root for, it's something that I feel every American should add to their bucket list. It was an awesome experience. It was exciting and energizing. It was inspiring. From the motorcade to all of the Secret Service that were present, and the speakers, every aspect of the rally was perfectly orchestrated. And it was such a cool experience. And I know, Jason, you've had the opportunity to attend one as well, right?
Well, I did. Back in 2004, I was traveling with my family through Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I had to go give a speech at the Blue Harbor Resort in October of 2004 in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And when we rolled into the parking lot and I got out, you could actually hear John Kerry speaking right down the road at a park. And so we went over, and even though we weren't supporting Kerry, it is. It's a great atmosphere. I love the political season. I love the fact that as Americans, we get to go out there and root for our guy. And
right.
So when I saw that picture you sent, I was like, my goodness, if she took that, she's right on the stage. I thought if Troy and I were there that close to the stage, they'd have had Secret Service all over us.
I wasn't on stage, but I was next to the
stage. You were close.
I was very close. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I you know, learned a lot, and, I think it's our civic duty, you know, as Americans to learn as much as we can about the candidates and make an informed decision, and that's what I set out to do, so.
But, Deb, you know what you did? You actually became engaged in the performance.
I did.
And that's what really happened, because you gave into, instead of just being a sidelayer, instead of just being a person who is sitting back and kind of saying, you know, I'm not sure, you know, all right, you decided to step into the stage. Although you were not on stage, you stepped into the stage, and that is a very important thing to remember. And especially as leaders, we have to remember that the objective is to engage everyone into being in the stage. So it becomes like in the moment for us,
right,
in the stage. And so that is our challenge and responsibility. And you experiencing that is a sense of what people can experience when they decide to give in and become a part of something, as opposed to being negative and standing back and just kind of waiting.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, for all of us in the business that we're in financial services, to me it becomes trickier and trickier to do this as our audience defers to more and more alternative delivery channels, you know, the iPad and the mobile banking and stuff like that. But I still believe that there is a place and a time to intentionally engage our audience of customers, clients, members, whatever it may be. And exactly what you said, Troy, making them feel like they are part of that performance is how you do it. I was,
right.
If you wonder why I haven't been tweeting this morning, I was at my son goes to a small private school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And today was our celebration of grandparents.
Aww.
And so we had a great, my parents were there, the parents that adopted me and my brothers and sisters and had my white sister, they were there. They were sitting there with my son in chapel day in our chapel gear, and they put on a great slideshow, a great live performance. And so that's why I wasn't tweeting too much about the show this morning. But I think it is exciting, Deb, that you got to see that. There's nothing quite like the presidential campaign. It is the biggest campaign that goes on in our fine republic every 4 years.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure here in Ohio.
Yeah, and this is the state of states. This
right.
is the state that that's the only reason we had a second Bush presidency was because of the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, back in 2004 on Election Day, everyone thought Kerry had won. They had told
yeah.
President Bush that John Kerry had won, but they hadn't got all the suburban votes counted in Ohio, and it happened to put them over the top electorally. So I think that's great, and that's what a live performance does. It informs, it inspires, it engages, and it is memorable. And today on the show, we're talking about some of the best performances from the 2000s in song, in music, in broadcasting, and we're going to talk about that right after this. You are back on the Power Performance. And Troy, speaking of powerful performances, what time is your performance today?
It is going to be at 2:20 our time here, which will make it 5:20 your time.
Yeah, 4:20 my time here in the Central Time Zone, 5:20 out there with you, Deb. And you got about 200 people you're going to be talking to about Every Day is Bank Transfer Day?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the concept of Every Day is Bank Transfer Day and how that actually can and how it has morphed itself into a national voice, into a national rallying cry, and the support that we are getting from credit unions now across the country who are beginning to wake up and understand that this is a message that we need to carry, this is a message we need to own, this is a message we have been given a great gift of, that we have an opportunity to do that. And so really great positive response from folks from the grassroots efforts. Our challenge now is getting folks from the national level to actually pay attention to what is happening in the grassroots.
Right, you should have been on the show last week.
Yeah, no doubt.
Was,
we talked about that a lot. We sure did. Well, listen, let's talk about great performances. As y'all know, my favorite band, as you could tell from the intro of the show, is Rush. Rush the band, that Canadian power trio. And it is Neil Peart's birthday, the drummer for Rush. His birthday is today, so happy birthday to him. And I will tell you, when we sat down and started talking about great performances, what I want to do is kind of share some of mine with y'all, and then you kind of give me your thoughts, kind of going, kind of taking them step by step here. And of course, we got a special guest out in Tennessee that's going to drop some knowledge on us about his pick for the best television show of the 2000s. For those of you that were watching television in the 2000s, I got to be honest with y'all, I rarely watch television anymore, like the television. I watch stuff on Netflix, on my iPad, and Hulu, but I almost never turn on the TV to sit down and watch a program, not till Downton Abbey is back on the air and not till the Steelers learn how to play football will I be watching.
I feel your pain, brother.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Hard
I'm a Brown
to watch.
Fan.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's start with I looked, I researched. For me, if I had to pick the best band of the 2000s, I'm going to have to tell y'all it is a band that I have only recently discovered, maybe back in 2008 when they were really at the height of their popularity. And, you know, Deb, you were talking about not being political. I love this band's music, but as with a lot of artists, I don't care for their politics. And my pick for the top band of the 2000s is the Dave Matthews Band. And when you look at the touring they did and the influence they had and the number of albums and the loyalty that they have with their audience, that's really what kind of put them over the top. One of our guests, Amanda Thomas, that was going to join us today but wasn't able to, she had submitted Coldplay, which would have definitely been in my top three. And but no, I think the Dave Matthews Band has demonstrated they started kind of humbly, worked their way up the old-fashioned way, playing small gigs and into bigger gigs. And I think when you look at the albums that they all debuted at number one, when you put on a great live performance, this is why I picked them, people continue to expect that you're going to keep putting on a great live performance. And that's a pretty powerful thing to have, whether you're a band or a brand. What do y'all think?
I agree. Do you want us to share our pick?
Yeah,
you know
what was
I have one.
Oh, I'm sure you do. What was your top band of the 2000s?
Well, I'm taking it country, y'all.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, I can't believe you.
You're going to steal my thunder. The Kentucky Girl. I'm going with Rascal Flatts.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Troy's. I knew it was going to be Troy's.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I saw them at a little county fair near my hometown when they first started out and fell in love and have followed them since.
What did you like about that first performance? What hooked you?
They were so engaging, and it was the way they connected with their audience. Mm-hmm.
And they connect with each other. I love the relationship with each other. Oh,
yeah, and
it.
You know what? Two of the three, they're Buckeyes. So, you know, that doesn't hurt either. But they've worked hard. They are great performers. I've seen them probably 20 times in concert, and I've never, ever left a show feeling like they didn't give it their all. And my daughter and I have had the opportunity to meet them probably seven times. And so, you know, 10 years ago, they were barely a twinkle in country fans' eyes. And now, as of next week, they're getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Wow.
Well-deserved, I might add. So
I would say they definitely deserve to be mentioned in this category. As you know, I'm not a big country music fan. Now, Troy, you said something I thought was very, very interesting. You said the way they interact with each other is obvious to the audience. Now, I will tell y'all, y'all know I worked and have worked with a couple different musicians, and I will be very honest with y'all. There have been points in our getting to know each other where, you know, the economy was kind of putting a stress on everything we were doing. And I remember there was one show right before we stopped working together as a trio where we were not getting along well. And it was obvious to everybody in the audience. It absolutely was. Troy, how does a brand, whether they're a bank or a credit union or a restaurant, how do you make sure – I mean, I'm sure you've all been – in situations where employees are arguing with one another, or, you know, there's a manager chastising a subordinate employee in front of you, and you never like to see that kind of stuff. How do we take our brands and make sure that people can tell we enjoy working together?
Well, I think part of it is you have to have a part of the core values within the organization. And so your core values are intricate to the brand. You can't have a brand that stands alone from the values that the organization represents, because the actions of the individuals are the brand. It's not the colors. It's not the logo. It's not the way it looks. It's not the clever little saying that comes underneath of your name. It is the way you interact with people is the brand. And so that's why the interaction and the relationship is so critically important. Because what will happen is this. Individuals who interact with your company will forgive you when there is a problem with the process. But when you are dysfunctional with them because you are not connecting with them, you are not helping them, or they have witnessed an experience where the relationship between the folks are not in sync, absolutely, that is a dysfunctional relationship, and people cannot actually get into it, and they will turn away from the brand simply because of it. That experience for them is like, I don't need that.
Exactly.
Right.
Boy, man, we've missed your perspective on some of these things. Okay, let's move on to, since we talked about bands, when we bring Josh on in a minute, well, maybe I have to ask him if he has thought about the best band of the 2000s for him, and if he says Rascal Flatts, I might have to end the show early. But
Kool-Aid,
exactly. Yeah. Listen, I have Rascal Flatts on my iPad because when I synced it, I get all of my my wife's stuff because we share our iTunes account. So I occasionally there is a Rascal Flatts song that I actually really enjoy, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But okay, but best song for me, and I went back and looked at a lot of lists. The VH1, their top 100, in my opinion, has completely they are no longer a resource for me musically.
Right.
I didn't even know VH1 was still on the telly, as Troy might refer to it now, based upon his trip to jolly old England.
Yeah, but because I was on holiday in London.
Holiday.
I was on holiday.
But not far from you, in Ireland, is where my favorite song and band hail from. And I've been really kind of trying to argue with myself whether U2 has displaced the Dave Matthews Band, or the Dave Matthews Band has displaced U2 as my number two band of all time. But I am picking best song of the decade. I'm going with Vertigo by U2, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, when that song came out, the first time I heard the song Vertigo was in the iPod commercial. And I remember watching the commercial on TV, uno, dos, tres, catorce, and watching this, and they were talking about, maybe it was even iTunes, it might have even been iPod, it might have been an iTunes commercial. And I sat there going, I know who Bono is, I know who U2 is, but what in the world is iTunes? I had absolutely no idea. And that song prompted me to find out what iTunes was. It prompted me to look into the concept of being able to download your own playlist. And to me, it was iTunes and iPod that was the wick that led to the dynamite that was the explosion of Apple as a brand in the 2000s. And so I'm picking Vertigo as my top song of the 2000s. And Troy, let's go to you next. Do you have a pick for top song of the 2000s?
I did not. I spent my time with a few things, and Band was the only one that I worked
on. And now how about you, Deb? Do you get a top song for us?
I love them all. You know me. But I guess if I had to nail it down to one, it would be Fallen by Alicia Keys.
Oh, that was in the VH1, by the way.
Yeah, it was on Billboard's Top 100 as well.
Yep, big time. Would have definitely, had we had time to say the best artists of the 2000s, I had Alicia Keys up there with John Mayer,
yeah.
And some other folks. She has that unique ability to compose. I don't know if she composes and writes her own songs, but she has that unique ability to perform those kinds of songs that, again, I think is relevant to anybody's brand. They're songs you love the first time you hear them.
Yep.
Sort of like every Adele song that came out this past year, and I think that's absolutely on the money. Hey, let's move to TV here real quick. Best television show was tough for me. I don't watch a whole lot of television show, so I do what I normally do when I don't have a good answer for something. I ask somebody else. And so what I decided to do, in addition to finding out from Deb and you or anybody else, we asked our good buddy Josh McAfee from Tennessee to chime in. Hey, Josh, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Doing great. Hey, before we get to television, do you have a best band of the decade, provided it is not Rascal Flatts?
Well, you know, I do, but before I reveal my fave, I do have an interesting little factoid for you guys here. And Deb's selection of Rascal Flatts reminded me. Jay DeMarcus. Which,
yeah.
if you're a Rascal Flatts fan, you know Jay DeMarcus.
Absolutely.
He's a member in the band. His wife is a former Miss Tennessee finalist
and went to
the Miss America competition. And they are the tandem, the duo that MCs our Miss Tennessee pageant, which is held right here in Jackson. So get to see Jay and Allison each year do the performance for Miss Tennessee, and that's pretty cool. But no, Rascal Flatts is not my favorite, and I will say that hands down. Now Coldplay, Dave Matthews, they're all fantastic, and I would say that Coldplay and Dave Matthews alone probably make up probably 10 or 15% of my total iPhone capacity right now. But but the other 85% is probably Jack Johnson.
I absolutely love Jack Johnson.
Wow, I don't know him. Studio audience. Josh, let me ask you, before we get your TV pick, let me ask you, what do you like about Jack Johnson?
Jack Johnson, he really hit his heyday. Yeah, about my senior year of high school, freshman year of college. That's when his In Between Dreams album came out. He's sort of a Jimmy Buffett without the country twang. And he's one of those that if you're on a beach, he has to be on your playlist. Because he's just that mellow, acoustic, alternative sort of sound that really just takes any sort of problem that you've got in your life and puts it on the back burner.
Well, that's really interesting. And speaking of great songwriters that peaked in high school, for Troy, King David and the Psalms peaked when he was in high school. So, I mean, that's
sweet. I'm so glad I was missed. Yeah, thanks.
As I've said many times, a more fit COO you will not find. Hey, Josh, let's talk about television for a minute here. You have a great pick for your best television series of the 2000s. Why don't you drop it on us?
I absolutely do. It's got to be, and I wish I had the sound bite for it that I could play, but Lost. And I love it's the best. It's the best creepy tones in minor to open up a show that I've ever seen in my life.
Definitely in my top three. Deb, did you like Lost?
I watched it a few times, but I just, you know what? I didn't follow from the beginning, so when I tried to jump in, I was lost.
Hey, what's that?
Hey.
Come on, Mummer, wake up over there.
Mine's 24.
Oh, that was mine. I was thinking 24 as well. Josh,
you mentioned mine earlier, Jason. Mine was Downton Abbey.
That was this decade. But Downton Abbey is fast on its way to being my favorite television show of all time. But, Josh, you mentioned something about Lost that I think makes it still very relevant today, and that is you can watch it on the iPad on Netflix.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to do that, by the way. I made a decision after you picked it because I, like you, Deb, did not see it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of jumped in rather late, really, like in season three, because I was kind of had a little television crush on Penny. And Josh, you know Penny, right?
Absolutely.
When she was crying, I was just like, oh man, Penny, don't cry, just call me. And absolutely a very unique show. And Josh, what you might find interesting is the producers of that show based it upon, of all things, what's the thing, the Mosquito Coast, or I forgot the actual name of the book, Lord of the Flies.
Yes, yes, they
Lord
did.
Lord of the Flies and Gilligan's Island was also part of the inspiration. So I think Lost is probably a little heavier than Gilligan's Island. What did you like about it?
Well, you know, I'll tell you how I got hooked, and I think any great TV show has to come with a story on how you got into it. Well, for me, it was as a freshman in college, my suite mates in the dorm that I stayed in, they were beginning to watch the show, so they came across the hall and they said, hey, we're going to watch Lost. We're going to watch the first couple episodes. This was about 11 o'clock at night, and long story short, 7 o'clock the next morning, we were finishing up the first season. So we absolutely dominated that first season overnight. Went to the nurse the next day and got an excuse for getting out of class, of course. I mean, the typical college student thing to do when you're sleep-deprived. So that's how I got involved in it. And, you know, one of the other things that I loved about it was that when my wife and I first got married, we didn't have cable. And like you said, you know, one of the beautiful things about modern TV is that it's either in DVD sets or you can get it online. And so what we did is we went and got it from Netflix, and from end to end, the first few weeks that we were married without cable, we watched the Lost series, and that's, you know, we were just absolutely hooked on it. I mean, from about 5 o'clock in the evening until, you know, midnight, we would just watch those seasons of Lost. So it's great memories for me, but also it's just the plot had so many twists and turns. I mean, and to its discredit, I mean, most of them were absolutely absurd, but it makes for great TV because the last thing that I want in my TV is reality.
Well, and that's what I liked about it. And it was actually kind of loosely based on the concept of Survivor as well. Now, Troy, you mentioned 24, which at the very last second, I decided 24 was going to edge out The Office. But I could put The Office in best sitcom and take it out of the dramatic realm. What was it about 24 that hooked you right away?
The real time. I like the concept of it being 24 hours and it being real, where so many of these action shows and television things are always, I mean, even though this was extravagant to some degree, it still was positioned in a real-time perspective. And when you think about a power of performance, it is in a real-time perspective.
Absolutely.
You don't lose time going from one segment to the next. And in a television show like in Lost, which was great, I'm certainly not bashing it, I'm just saying that the segmentation of it going from one scene to the next, you don't have any relevance so much of the time, and whether or not you have to pay attention as to whether this really happened before or after what you just saw. So so that you can kind of make a connection and put it together. But in 24, there was no doubt. Everything was sequential.
Absolutely.
So it kind of moved itself right along. And for us, from a performance standpoint, that's what we have to do. We have to connect the dots from 1 second to the next second to the next second to the next second. And we don't get the privilege of having our performances videoed. Our members and our customers and our clients cannot go back and take a look at the things that we did and review them and spend a whole night watching them and enjoy them. If we don't capture them in the moment, we miss it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, you know, and I want to say before I know you can't believe this, we're already in bonus time, but Josh, you said something that's absolutely true. Every appreciation of a live performance starts with a story about what got you hooked. What I want people to think about this week is, are you telling the story of your brand in such a way that it hooks people? Is it something that they're willing to share? Josh and his wife shared that time together, and I think a brand like a band, like a dramatic performance troupe, can intentionally engage their audience and connect with them, not just on an operational level, but on an emotional level. I mean, we're dealing with people's money, people's dreams, cars and homes and new babies and adding rooms on. I've always thought that we could do a much better job of telling our story of our individual brands. And so last but not least, hey, Deb, what would you have picked for your best television show or sitcom or anything else from the 2000s?
Well, quickly, Downton Abbey, like I said, but it was a tie, ironically, with Modern Family, and the two could not be more different. But
yeah, and I don't watch
right.
Modern Family.
There's no connection. There's I just
connection.
Like them both.
Well,
best ad campaign.
Oh.
Kia Soul, the commercials with the hamsters grooving to party rock anthem.
Kia
it was entertaining.
Soul. Yep.
I'm not going to go. I'm not running out to buy a Kia Soul, but.
Yep.
I like the commercial.
I will tell you real quickly, my favorite brand of the 2000s was Southwest Airlines because they succeeded when everybody else was failing.
Right.
And I will tell you my favorite ad campaign only because it so dramatically changed the landscape of the technology marketplace was the PC versus Mac ad campaign.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Troy, what about you? You got any thoughts on that before we get out of here?
Mini Cooper in 2002.
Take
a good look at the Mini Cooper and how it introduced itself into a marketplace in 2002 during a time when we were big cars,
right.
big SUVs, big crossovers, and look at the magic that they performed in introducing the Mini Cooper into the marketplace and allowing it to be exceptional. And what they did was they took their disadvantage and made it their advantage.
Wow.
And it was just an exceptional way in which they were able to play it.
And now
we're
Fiat has followed suit.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
They have. And well, listen, let's give our last word on this to our special guest from Tennessee. Hey, Josh McAfee, do you have a pick for the best, although, gosh, you said you were in college when Lost came out. How old are you? You must be like 14 years old. But what was your favorite ad campaign as a youngster that you might recall from the 2000s? Do you have one?
Yes, actually I do, and I have to echo the PC versus Mac thing. I turn 25 tomorrow, so yes,
happy birthday.
Thank you. So those were my formative years, but PC versus Mac definitely painted a picture in my mind of who is a PC and who is a Mac. And today it's effective because just about every piece of chargeable equipment that I carry around with me has an Apple on it somewhere. So yeah, that's definite. Hey, one thing before I jump off, I want to throw out there. We've got a conference here in you speak about the power of performance. Got a conference here in Tennessee next week. It's the CUES Greater Southern Council. Kristen Christian is going to be speaking. And I know you guys are big on every day is bank transfer day. Well,
yeah.
She is going to be speaking here in Tennessee. And so I want to give a shout-out to all the folks in the Southeast who are possibly available to come and hear her speak because it's going to be a great session. If you need more information, go to CUESGSC.org.
Well, listen, Josh, I appreciate it. We'll have to have a whole other show about how Troy and I feel about Christian. But, yes, absolutely. Get out there and have a great time. And, as always, we appreciate you joining us from the great state, the volunteer state of Tennessee. Hey, guys, you know what I was just thinking?
What?
We have an opportunity right now to put on a great live performance for Josh by singing him Happy Birthday live on the air.
Oh,
are y'all up for it?
No, let's save that.
All right.
Yes. Let's make that a performance in our minds, okay?
That's true. That'll be for the show forgettable performances of the 21st century. All right, well, listen.
Yeah.
Have a great birthday, Josh.
Yeah, have a great birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Hey, listen, I can't believe it. We are out of time. We are into bonus time. Troy, we've missed you. There's no other way to say it. You are my friend. You are my mentor. You are our co-host. It was great to have you back on the air.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And Deb, you keep doing what you do out there in beautiful Mansfield, Ohio. Cool Christian mother of four, keeping it real out there at Directions. Deb, thank you so much. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks.
And if it's Wednesday, it is the Power Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Go out there and look at your brand today. Ask that question. Ask yourself, are people going to remember you as one of the great brands of this decade in your time? Intentionally engage your audience. Leave them wanting more. Be in business forever. And we'll talk about it every Wednesday right here on the Power Performance.